Spotlight on the Word is designed to encourage you to get into the Word of God. The Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible speaks of longing for the sincere spiritual milk of the Word that you might grow thereby, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Jesus Himself said in the great Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We want to encourage a spiritual hunger on your part by this basic introduction, this overview to the Word of God. In Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, the prophet Jeremiah said, "Your word was found, and I did eat it. Your word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart." In Job chapter 23 and verse 12, it is said, "Your word have I esteemed more than my necessary food." And in Matthew 4 verse 4, our Lord Himself said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Oh, how we want to encourage you to get into the Word, and that is what this study, Spotlight on the Word, is all about. In this particular session, we are going to study the books of Judges and Ruth. Judges and Ruth in the Old Testament. They are part of the 12 books that make up the books of history in the Old Testament, covering a time frame of some 900 to 950 years, from about 1400 BC to about 450 BC. When you look at the books that we've already studied, a brief review would be helpful. Looking at the book of Genesis, it tells us that God is powerful. He spoke the creation into existence, Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9, and it was good. Indeed, it was very good. We come to the book of Exodus, and we learn that God is faithful. Because you see, the children of God, the Hebrew people, are in captivity. They're in bondage at this particular time, but God, by His power and might, brings them out in His faithfulness. You look at the book of Leviticus, the third book of the Bible there in the Old Testament, and what Leviticus does so marvelously is remind us that God is holy. As a matter of fact, the word holy or holiness occurs close to 100 times in the book of Leviticus. And God is separate, a cut above all others. He is holy. He has an absolute hatred for what is sinful, for what defiles, for what pollutes, and He has an absolute sense of purity. He holds to what is clean and what is good. And God wants His people to be pure. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. What do we see about God in the book of Numbers? Numbers reminds us that God is a God of justice, and that God is a God who provides. There, God's people had been released from bondage, and yet they were disobedient, they murmured and complained, and they did so to such an extent that God executed His justice upon them. And an old generation would die in the wilderness, even though it was only a few days' journey from Mount Sinai to the land of promise, Canaan land. And a new generation would come along who would need to hear God's word and to establish a deep and abiding relationship with Him. That's the book of Deuteronomy, and it emphasizes the love of God and obeying Him. That expression, obey or obedience, occurs some 170 times in the book of Deuteronomy. Then we come to the book of Joshua. Joshua reminds us of the promise of God, because Joshua is all about possessing the land that God was giving them. It's about entering the land in Joshua chapters 1 through 5. It is about taking the land, Joshua chapter 6 through 12. It's about distributing the land, Joshua chapters 13 through 21. And finally, the book of Joshua is about retaining the land. And the book of Joshua is a very important book for helping us understand the books of Judges and Ruth that follow just after. When we talk about the book of Judges, it is a time in which God's people go from victory to defeat, from triumph to tragedy. It's a time in which God's people go from progress to decline. It could be called the spiritual dark ages in a number of ways for God's people, Israel, there in the Old Testament. It is about a 350-year period of time that we're studying about in the books of Judges and Ruth. About a 350-year period of time. Let's take a moment. If Joshua is about the promise of God, then you look at Judges and Ruth. Judges is about the righteousness of God. It had been forgotten largely in the book of Judges because every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 17 and verse 6, Judges 21 and verse 25. You look at the book of Ruth, it tells us about the redemptive care of God. God cares. He is compassionate. Ruth tells us about the redemptive care of God. So these things are all really significant as we think about the great God that we serve and how God has given us a book, the Bible, that is by Him and about Him and the relationship that He wants to have with each and every one of us. Oh, how the Word of Christ, God's Word, needs to dwell in our hearts and in our minds so that we can be wise and passionately pursue our God. The writer of Proverbs puts it this way in Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Let's take a little bit more time now to focus on the book of Judges, and then we'll look at some important passages in that book. As we look at the book of Judges, let me give you an outline that will help you. We'll call this an outline in 3D. Each of the three main points will begin with the letter D. The first one is deterioration. Deterioration. Judges chapters 1 through chapter 3 and verse 6. Judges 1 through 3:6. Deterioration. And then secondly, there's this D. Deliverance. Deliverance. And we read about these times of deliverance in Judges chapter 3 and verse 7 through Judges chapter 16. And then chapter 17 through 21, the third D, decline. Decline. So the book of Judges, what is it all about? It is about deterioration, deliverance, and decline. That's why it's not too far off the mark to speak of Judges as something of a dark ages, a dark time for the people of God in the Old Testament. A key word to remember concerning the book of Judges is the word cycles, cycles in the plural, because there are at least seven cycles of sin. There would be deterioration, deliverance, and then decline. That's the overall picture of the book of Judges. But there are seven distinct cycles of sin in the book where there would be rebellion against God and His will. God would allow there to be retribution for their sinful behavior. And then there would be repentance. Repentance. And after the repentance, there would come restoration. And there would be rest in the land of Israel for a while. But as you look at the book of Judges, there are seven such cycles, at least, of this type of behavior. Deterioration, deliverance, and yes, decline. God raised up these judges, these deliverers who were to help the people by doing what was equitable and right and bring them closer to God. At least that's what their task was. Now think about this. because the Old Testament is to point to Jesus. And the Old Testament points to Jesus by way of promise, by way of prophecy, by way of type, a figure of something that is greater and nobler and better that will come in Jesus and the New Testament system. And what the judges, the deliverers do is point us to the Lord, the righteous judge, 2 Timothy 4 verses 6 through 9, the judge of all the earth who we know will do what is right, Genesis 18, 24 and 25, Jesus, to whom has been committed all judgment, John 5, 22 through 27. When you study the book of Judges, you'll discover that there are some 13 judges mentioned in that book. And often something of their sinfulness, their faithlessness is brought out. But God raised up the judges, and according to the word of God in Judges, the people did not hearken to them, the people did not obey them. So you see, it wasn't just that the judges weren't all that they should be, even though that's certainly the case with most of them. It's also the case that the people refused to hearken to them when they tried to get them to draw nearer to God. Here's what's happened. Take a moment, if you would, and look at Judges chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. How do we get to the point where the people of God in the book of Joshua are enjoying the land that they have taken, that God has promised them, to this point in history? Judges chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 tell us. Really, you can go back to chapter 1, where over and over it is said that different tribes failed to accomplish what they were supposed to in the land of Canaan by eradicating the Canaanites. They failed. Chapter 2, 10 through 12 tells us that the generation of Joshua and others died. They went to be with the fathers. They went to the realm of the dead. And a generation arose that did not know God or the mighty works He had done on behalf of Israel. That's so crucial. Grab that point. They did not know God. They did not understand the great works that God had done on behalf of Israel. But they behaved in an exceedingly wicked way, and they worshiped the idols. They worshiped the Baals. They worshiped that which was not right. You shall have no other gods before me, He had told them. Exodus 20 verses 3 and 4. Well, as we keep looking at the book of Judges, we can come to Judges chapter 6 through 8, where we read of one of the judges, Gideon. It's amazing how the book of Judges deals with these 13 or so judges. There's about 100 verses devoted to Gideon. There's one verse devoted to Shamgar. And there's four chapters, Judges 13, 14, 15, and 16, devoted to Samson. The fact is, we are given very short pictures, small pictures of these judges because the times were so wicked. In Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8, we read of Gideon. In Judges 6 and verse 13, he asked a very penetrating question. If God is with us, why has all this evil come upon us? Why has all this happened to us if God is with us? He is asking a question concerning the problem of evil. Why are times so difficult and dark and sinful? Well, I tell you what, simply reading the book of Judges and noticing the behavior of the people is a telling reason why. It is said in Judges chapter 2 that God would allow the nations about that they had failed to eradicate those peoples. He would allow them to continue to live since Israel didn't do what God had commanded. And He would do this in order to test Israel. And the people of God, by and large, failed that test miserably in the book of Judges. But you see, Gideon in Judges chapter 7 taking the people of God and giving them a time of deliverance. Because he deals with the Midianites, a foe, an enemy of the Israelites, the people of God. God makes him get his army down to just a small, small army indeed. 300 men. And they are armed with trumpets. They are armed with lanterns that are placed in a jar. They are armed with a shout, and they rout the Midians as they shout, "For the Lord and for Gideon." Oh, this book reminds us of the importance of looking to a God who is righteous and living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, Titus 2, 11 and 12. As we continue looking at Judges, one needs to consider Judges chapters 13 through 16, Samson. Oh, my friends, keep in mind that Samson really was a mighty man, so strong, a man of incomparable strength, but he was what we might call a he-man with a she-weakness. Samson could do a lot of things, but he could not control himself. He could not control his hormones. And in passages like 1 Corinthians 6, 18 and 19, we're told to flee fornication. We're told to keep ourselves pure, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22. Oh, Samson should have recognized that. He had been taught well by good parents, Manoah, his father, and Manoah's wife. As we think about Samson, he would have his eyes poked out by the Philistines and become a subject of ridicule. His hair, which had been the source of his strength, as most people know, was shorn by the Philistines, by Delilah. And there he is. He comes to an end, and finally there is a prayer to God. We don't read much about Samson being a spiritual man. Mainly it's all about him. And there's a telling lesson. Being a he-man with a she-weakness, being the type of individual that always lives for one's desires and wants, oh, these things are simply not right in the sight of God. As we keep looking just for a little longer at the book of Judges, we come to the closing sections, chapters 17 through 21. Three words come to mind: idolatry, immorality, war, and civil war. In discussing the decline of God's people, why? Why is it occurring? Idolatry, immorality, and war. War within and without. Oh, there are so many things that can lead us from God and His Word. How we need to bring every thought captive to Christ Jesus, our Lord. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6. Then we come to the book of Ruth. Ruth is a rose in a cesspool of sin. The book of Ruth is an oasis in an arid desert, dry and parched. When we look at the book of Ruth, what Ruth does is emphasize the redeeming love of God, the redemptive care. And a key word for Ruth would be kinsman redeemer. Kinsman redeemer. There are four chapters, 85 verses in the book of Ruth. 13 times reference is made to the kinsman redeemer. More about this concept in a moment. When you look at two books in the Old Testament that are named after women, it is striking. It's really significant to notice this. Ruth is a Gentile, a Moabite, who marries a Jew. And then the book of Esther. Esther is a Jewish lady who marries a Gentile. In both cases, Ruth, the Gentile marrying a Jew, and Esther, a Jew marrying a Gentile. People were blessed and God was honored. Oh, the purposes God has in mind in His Word. Just as we see its pages unfold, how rich it is to look at the unsearchable riches of God's will. This eternal purpose that He had to redeem man, sinful man, through Jesus to the glory of God. When we look at Ruth, we can divide the book into four parts, chapter by chapter. In the first place, we have love's decision, Ruth chapter 1. In this particular chapter, Ruth is speaking with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi's husband has died. Ruth's husband has died. And here in this chapter, Ruth chapter 1, there is a marvelous passage that many people often refer to in weddings and things of a similar nature. Ruth 1, 16 and following. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. What Ruth is saying to Naomi is, wherever you go, I am going to go. They have been in Moab now for some time. This is in the time of the judges. A 10 to 12 year period of time is being dealt with in the book of Ruth that concerns the time of the judges. And this is a beautiful love story, not just of a woman for her mother-in-law, but of a woman for God. Turn to Ruth chapter 2. You have love's devotion. In chapter 1, Ruth has been weeping with Naomi because their life has been so difficult. In Ruth chapter 2, Ruth is working. She is working out in the fields, and one of the things she has to do is collect not only enough for herself to be able to survive, she's in Bethlehem now, having left Moab, and she has to collect enough for Naomi, her mother-in-law, as well. Love's decision, love's devotion. And then you keep looking at Ruth. Look at Ruth chapter 3. You can see Ruth and love's deliverance. There is a man there who is a good man, and he notices Ruth, and she notices him. And we think about his name, Boaz. He is a good man. He is well-to-do, and he is related to the family of Naomi's husband who has passed away. You have love's waiting. One of the things that he notices about Ruth is found in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11, that she is a worthy, that she is a noble woman, and that's an expression well worth noticing because it's the same expression that's found in Proverbs 31, a worthy woman, a noble woman who can find her price, her value is far above rubies. Ruth is this type of woman. Boaz has found such a woman. But when you look at Ruth chapter 3, there is a kinsman that is closer to the family than Boaz. And so what Boaz does is make sure that things are all right with that individual, that he does not want to take this family on as his own. And Boaz does, and that brings me to chapter 4, love's delight. A wedding will occur. What Boaz does is serve as a kinsman redeemer. He is related to Elimelech, the deceased husband of Naomi by blood. He is a free man who is willing and able to pay the price to take this family on and to love Ruth as his wife. And the book of Ruth ends with a wedding in chapter 4. As we conclude this study, let's look at some important thoughts from the book of Ruth. First of all, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the bed is to be undefiled. Hebrews 13 and verse 4, if ever there was a book that beautifully taught the preciousness and sacredness of marriage, it is the book of Ruth, and how they relate to each other in a pure way until the time comes when the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, is able to make a transaction that brings them in as his family. God is really the hero of the book of Ruth. In 85 verses, God is referred to no less than 23 times. Even in books like this, there's so much to be learned about God. Further, as we think about this particular book, Ruth is one of five women who will be mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. You see, Boaz and Ruth would have people in their family that would produce David. David, and from David's seed would come one, the Messiah. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. Oh, the marvelous providence of God when people trust and obey Him. And so in a marvelous way, there is a stark contrast between much of what takes place in the book of Judges and what takes place in the book of Ruth. There's an old hymn that says it so beautifully, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey." So as we look at these two books, Judges and Ruth, we think of deterioration, deliverance, decline on the one hand, and we think about love's decision, and we think about love's delight on the other. Oh, Jesus came in order that our joy might be full. 1 John 1 and verse 4, that we might know unspeakable joy. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. Oh, how we can say that in Your presence there is fullness of joy, God. In Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16 and verse 11. And that You, God, are our exceeding joy. Psalm 43 and verse 4. May we continue to put the spotlight on the Word so that the Word of God will dwell in our hearts and we will know, love, and obey Him.